He joins us as he does most Mondays at 5 o'clock on the Home Run In Hotline. Home Run In Pizza, always a big hit for the holidays. You can find his work in the Tribune, at the National Football Post, and here on The Score. He's on Twitter at MattBowen41. He's Matt Bowen. Hello.
Hello, Dan and Terry. That was some bad football yesterday.
Oh, my God. Seriously, what the hell was
Indeed
that?
Indeed it was.
I mean, it's almost breaking down the X's and O's is something that I know you do, and we try to see what's going on, but there was something amiss, just something that wasn't right, regardless of what they were trying to do.
No, you know, you start with how many points they left on the field. I mean, you can't take touchdowns off the board. You know, the illegal formation when Marion Barber wasn't on the line of scrimmage, that's 6 points. Actually, seven,
mm-hmm.
in the drop pass by Roy Williams. That's another seven. You can't take points off the board. I understand the Chiefs. Let's be honest. The Chiefs aren't the Packers, okay? They're not even close to the Packers. But it's still the NFL. Even though you're playing against the number two quarterback, it's still the NFL. You cannot have that poor of execution. I'm really on both sides of the ball and special teams. There's flags on the special teams, too. You just can't do that in the NFL and sneak by. It's too hard.
Why do you think that was, from a Bears perspective? I mean, you know, this is a team you had to be Jones in for a win. You understand where you're at. But yet, Matt, I guess I'm trying to equate with what we saw with their readiness for the game, I guess is what I'm asking. I mean, is that wrong to do that?
No, it's not wrong to ask some questions like that, because you look at the first drive of the second half that the Chiefs had. They took about 7 minutes off the clock. And it led to points. I mean, this is the Bears' defense. This is Lovie's defense. You have Urlacher, Briggs, Peppers, etc. You shouldn't allow a seven-minute drive. Not against that offense. You should shut them down, force a three, and not get the ball right back to your offense and try to get some momentum started coming out of the locker room. They did not do that. And as good as this defense is, they didn't make the big plays. They didn't force any turnovers against a quarterback they had to own. They had to take him out of the game, take the receivers out of the game, shut down Thomas Jones. And to be honest, with the way Caleb Haney's playing quarterback right now, you have to create field position. That's an automatic 3 points. That's what you have to do as a defense. It's not easy. It's not fair. And I'm sure not every defense player in the NFL would agree with it. But I'm sure if you ask Urlacher right now, he probably would agree with it, because he's been around a long time. And that's what your job is as a defensive player. I played on some teams that had great defenses with Greg Williams. And our offense was so atrocious. I mean, it was so poor. But Greg would come in the meeting afterwards and say, you didn't do your job. You didn't score points and didn't create field position for our quarterback.
So what do you do if you're Caleb Haney and you got to watch film of that all week? And now you're going up against a good defense.
Yeah.
And the Bears insist, well, he's our quarterback. He'll get better. I don't have any reason to believe that he'll get better. And I'm not
Maybe Matt
sure.
does.
Because then the blocking started to break down. Poor Lance Lewis, we're praising him for weeks. Yeah. He couldn't get out of his stance.
Yeah, he had a rough day. I mean, he did. And that goes hand in hand, obviously. But some of those sacks are a direct reflection of the technique of Haney. And I agree with you guys. I thought we talked about it last week. I thought he would get better. You think, okay, you got the tape from the Oakland game. You study that. You get in the film room with Marks, with your position coach, get on the practice field, and you come out and you have a better game. You have a better game. You cut down the turnovers. You move the sticks. But we didn't see any of that.
But where's the value in this tape, I guess? I mean, what matters in that tape that's constructive?
Third downs. You got to find out why you're not converting on third downs. If you don't convert on third downs, you're not going to go out to Denver where you can hardly breathe after warm-ups and beat a red-hot team. And you're not going to do it. You have to convert on third downs. As a defensive player, you're sitting on the sidelines shaking your head saying, three and out again? We just sat down. And you got to give your defense a rest, and you have to move the sticks just to create field position. It doesn't have to always lead the points. But you get the ball so you can pin them deep with a punt. But you look at his footwork in the pocket. You know, Dan, you and I were talking about it on Twitter yesterday. Mm-hmm. Those high-low reads. Right now, Caleb Haney is stuck on one person. It's Johnny Knox. And I'll tell you what's going to happen this Sunday. There's a guy in Denver that I play with in Washington named Champ Bailey, and I guarantee they're going to put him on Johnny Knox. So that's going to race him. You got to find somewhere else to go with the ball, especially on third downs. You got to be patient, have confidence in your footwork, step into your throw, and deliver the ball, because there were some receivers he missed on third downs that you got to have.
Yeah, there's no question he missed some plays, but the one you mentioned before, Matt, the one at the goal line, Roy Williams, you got to catch the ball. I mean, I agree that he missed plays to Bennett to knock. I mean, you name it, he overthrew it. He didn't do the right thing. But then when he throws one at the goal line, that's why I say, is it concentration or is it just, you know, I'd like to say he's just that bad, but I can't believe that he's that bad.
No, he's not. And it's concentration. It's a case of, and it's a great point, Terry, because like you said, you miss on throws, you have a poor game, but your job as a receiver is to go out there and help the quarterback, help him, make a play for him. Because with Haney, the ball's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be thrown like Jay does, okay? So you're going to have to go out and make a play. You're going to have to beat guys. And instead of beating them by one step, you got to beat them with two steps of the backup quarterback. When it's in the red zone, that's an inexcusable drop from Roy Williams, not from a veteran player. Even if it was a rookie, even if it was Sonnenbacher, I would say it's an inexcusable drop. But for a veteran in that game situation, given the style of game that we saw, where points were crucial, you have to make that play.
Will Devin Hester ever be able to figure out what to do other than I have the ball and it's time to go that way? Some of his decision making and the judgment and the timing, where he is on the field, watching the trajectory of the ball, I guess we're at the point where we're going to have to live with that and hope for the spectacular when we get it, right?
Yes, you're going to have to. Because I agree with you, he lets the ball hit the ground too much on punt returns. And you can't. What happens is if the ball hits the ground, sometimes you lose two first downs. What I mean by that, that ball could roll 20 yards. And now you're telling your number two quarterback, you got to get two extra first downs because I didn't fair catch the ball or I didn't come up and field it. But on the flip side of it, Dan, just like you said, when he does field it, there's always an opportunity. He's going to spring that one because he is, you know, up there with Ryan Mitchell and Deion Sanders as the best returners that anyone has ever seen. So you kind of take the good with the shaky parts of it when he gives up some field position.
I found it interesting what you said before when you're in Washington that the expectation, because we listen to Urlacher and Briggs every week talk about it now since Jay's been gone, that it's up to us. It is strictly on us. I was wondering if that was a little like, okay, quit polishing my apple. But you say that's actually legit, because the defense, I mean, you ask them to do an awful lot anyway, but what you see it when they don't get any takeovers, you don't have any field position, you don't have much of anything going on for you.
No, you don't. And I remember when Greg came into a meeting, and he used to love to tell old stories. This is back when he was down in Tennessee, coaching down with the Titans. And he said there was a game when they had seven turnovers on offense, and they still won. Okay, we're like, whatever, Greg. And he was dead serious. He was dead serious. And he added some language to the speech, too, to bring it home and to make sure we understood what he's talking about. But he says, if the offense doesn't score points, you better score points, or I'm going to replace you. That's what he always used to say.
Well, we can talk about that and talk about extremes, but we're kind of there. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, because you look at this, you say, all right, this is a decent Denver defense. And I like what you mentioned before about the altitude. We should get to that. But how are the Bears going to score? Really, genuinely, if you're looking at this, what can they do? What can they say? Here's something in this game we know we can do.
That's interesting, Dan, because I was sitting here and I have to make a prediction every week for the Tribune. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there today saying, can I really pick them to win? I want to pick them to win. I trust Lovey. I think he'll have this team ready to play, but I can't.
I'm with the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. How are they going to score points? What are they going to do? Is it going to be the type of game we're talking about already with special teams or defense? That sounds great. But like I said, what you have to do is 3rd and 4 to 7, you got to get first downs. That's the first thing. You have to get first downs against this defense. And the ball's got to come out quick. Because if Von Miller is up, and for the listeners out there who haven't seen Von Miller, I saw him down in Mobile last year. He's from Texas A&M. He's the outside backer for the Broncos. This kid can play. I mean, he is a hell of a football player. You come off the edge. You got Elvis Dumervil on the other side. Got a good secondary. So ball's got to come out quick. And 3rd and 4 to 7, Mike's got to go to Caleb and say, look, there's a three-step route. If your first read's not open, get it to your second read immediately, or someone's going to hit you right on the jaw or in the back of the head. So 3rd and 4 to 7, convert. You got to win on early down and distances. And I'll tell you what, guys. You got to take some shots down the field. You have to. I don't care if it results in a pick. You have to throw the ball down the field. Or else you're not going to have eight guys in the box. You're going to have nine. And without Matt Forte, I know Khalil Bell had a nice run yesterday. That was one run. Can he do that for four quarters? I don't know. You know, can Marion Barber make someone miss in the open field? I haven't seen it.
No, he likes to run over a guy instead.
Right.
I mean, he'll stiff arm him and he'll try to just keep his knees high and step on him. But
right, but this is the NFL. Those guys get paid a lot of money, too. And they're not going to let you run you over every time. So what I'm saying is, can we see some vertical concepts? We only saw one yesterday. It was a deep ball. It was underthrown. I understand it wasn't a great throw by Caleb, but you have to open it up a little bit. You have to test the defense down the field. Because I'll tell you what, as an ex-defensive player, if I know, playing safety, you can't throw the ball down the field, I'm going to line up at 8 yards and say, I dare you to run a ball against me.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to get your thoughts, too, on the safety play. We need to take a break, come back, and the Bears safety play, because yesterday they were compared to Plank and Fensick, and I thought, wow. Woo!
But not Doug. It was Steve Plank and Larry Fensick.
Oh.
I think actually they were comparing
well, see,
to
specify.
Different people. And also the comment you made about the altitude in Denver. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back to that, too.
So we'll do some of that in a moment. Keep it here. We're talking football with Matt Bowen on the Score.
I'm starving, too. At 5:21, Boers and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score, as we do every game day after the Bears play. Our guy Matt Bowen has joined us, and you wanted to talk about the altitude.
Yeah, because I've spent plenty of time in Denver.
I have, too.
Denver hasn't bothered me all that much.
Bothered me.
I will say Breckenridge, when we went up to whatever that is, 8,000 or 10,000 feet, wherever that is, that got to me, and I really had to adjust to it.
You're all the way up at Myra Breckenridge.
but I would think that a well-trained professional athlete would be able to handle it, but is there, you're saying it's that big a deal?
Well, you can handle it, but it's a shock to your system just because when you come out, you know, players usually come out and test out their cleats, their footwork, etc., before they put their gear on. And you're out there early screwing around, throwing the ball, and you start running, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, man, I can't breathe. And he starts to panic a little bit. I always did. I know my teammates did as well. And when you come out of the locker room, the visiting team locker room at Mile High, there's that sign right there in front of you. It tells you how high you are above elevation and just remind you that it's going to be a long day. You're going to be sucking wind. And for special teams players, obviously it impacts. You cover one kick, it feels like you run a mile just because you're always reaching for air. But as the game evens out, you'll catch up to it. But it's always that first quarter, that first series, because you're always jacked up to go on the field the first time. And you get into a 12-play drive, you could be in trouble.
Is there anything in the collective bargaining agreement about cycling-style blood packing? Just out of curiosity, I know you can't...
I mean, could you do it?
Yeah. I'm wondering, is there anything that says you couldn't freeze your own blood and then do what the cyclists do, where you just get all of the influx of corpuscles right when you need them?
I have no idea, but...
Oh, you took it.
No.
Come on, yeah, Bowen. Let's not play these nasty games.
Yeah,
I could see you doing
this.
I've never heard of NFL players doing it, but that's something that you could do.
Yeah, well, I mean, like Ryan Clark. You know, I played with Ryan in Washington. He can't play in Denver. I mean, he had a medical issue, and every time he goes out, he can't play. So it does impact the game. There's no doubt about it. It is an advantage. The weather usually stinks. The plane flight coming over those mountains is...
Sucks. Every time. It never fails.
It's terrible.
I know.
And especially in an NFL plane, you got these charter planes. And no one's sitting down. No one has their seatbelt on. People are walking around, do whatever they want. And all of a sudden, guys are flying through the aisle. So,
they don't enforce FAA rules on charter planes? Is that international waters?
I never saw it. Come on now. They always say, put your seatbelt on. No, no, no.
That's fun. You know, and now I feel better about that, because every time I was in Denver, quite often, when I covered the Bulls, and then there always been an event or an NCAA, and every time, Final Four was there,
mm-hmm.
NBA All-Star Game was there. I always thought it just because I was a big, fat, sweaty, fat guy smoking that I was like,
well, that's part of it. I don't think that helped.
But I caught up to it. Like Matt said, you catch up to it.
All right, let's look at the Bears' safeties now,
safeties.
Especially with Major Wright out with a shoulder bruise. Not sure how he's going
Craig
to be able
Steltz.
To contribute. So it's Craig Steltz. It's Chris Conte. They decided not to use Brandon Merriweather, despite trading or picking him up and then extending his contract. He's a former first-round pick. What was significant about that, and what did you see from the Bears' safeties?
Well, I think the issue with Merriweather all season has kind of been technique and discipline within that defense. You know, when they play cover two, you got to line up in your landmark. You got to trust your eyes. You got to read your own pass keys. You know, he struggled doing that. You know, the only big plays he's made this year have been when he's leading with his head, too. Let's be honest. It's not like this guy's picking off passes and making all these big plays.
No.
So I kind of understand him making a switch, going with guys that can trust. In that type of game situation, where you know you can't give up a huge play because that can get you beat. 7 points can get you beat. Maybe that's why they went with Steltz. But tell you what, both of them hit. They tackled. You know, outside of that Hail Mary thing, which is a fluke. I mean, It's amazing. That was the only touchdown in that football game. I'll say that. And the Bears did exactly, Conte did exactly what every coach I played for tell you. Go up, try to knock the ball down. Don't try to catch it because I think defensive players can't catch, and you're going to tip it up into the air. The problem with that, guys, is on Friday, it's amateur hour. You have the offensive scout team run down the field. They start jogging at the 20-yard line, and they stop running at the 5 because they don't want to get anyone hurt. So they said, let the defense knock it down. There's no one down there. If someone goes up and slams it down, everyone starts reacting like it's third-grade recess. I mean, it's a joke play in practice, and all of a sudden get you beat in a game. That's rough. But getting back to the safeties, mm-hmm. You know, I thought they were okay. You know, I thought Stealth had a great angle on the breakout run from the Chiefs to get the guy down. That's what his job is to do. You know, Conte was in the red zone. He really came out of his cover two backpedal and tackled well inside the red zone. I thought the entire defense tackled well inside the red zone. But hey, if they're going to go with those guys, you're gonna have to have two safeties this Sunday who are assignment perfect because you're going to see the triple option that a lot of guys haven't seen since high school, let's be honest. And if you make a mistake against the triple option, it's just like what we see in college football against Georgia Tech, Air Force, Navy. It's a touchdown. It's a touchdown if you make a mistake against the option. Right now, Tim Tebow, he's 6-1 as a starter. There's no reason to talk about his mechanics anymore because they're winning, and they're running an unconventional offense. So it's going to be a very tough week for this Bears defense. They have to be disciplined and assignment sound. So if you can go with Stelz and Conte, I might go with that too.
See, you know, I'm glad you said it because that's kind of why I thought I didn't see him yesterday because I was thinking, where the hell would he be? But that the Bears' margin for error is so slim now. You can't have him out there running on his own or leading with his head or doing anything that would cost you a thing. Whether it's Matt giving up a big play or just something dumb with a penalty or something, your margin for error isn't very great now. You can't afford a field position, whatever it would be, something he would do wrong that would cost you, and I kind of thought that's why I didn't see him.
No, I agree. You give up overall athletic talent right now for guys that can line up. This type of season, I mean, let's be honest, guys, the NFL seasons are so fragile. I mean, 2 weeks ago, before Jay Cutler's injury was announced, you're looking at this Bears team saying, hey, if they cause some turnovers, they might be able to compete with Green Bay in January. They really might. The way Jay was playing, the way Forte was running the ball, the defense causing turnovers against the Lions, and you have that one injury. Then you have another injury this past Sunday. These seasons are so fragile, they slip. They can slip right out of your hands. So if you're Love, you're saying, okay, do I want the guy who's a former first-round pick? If I put him, let's be honest, you put Merriweather and Stealth back at the combine right now, there's no question who you're going to draft.
Right.
There's
right.
No question because of the athletic ability, the speed of Merriweather. But if Stealth can line up and he can tackle, doesn't miss tackles in the open field, stays deep in cover two, is able to play with leverage in cover one, then you look at him and say, you know what, that's my guy right now.
Our fact checkers found this Tennessee Titans game from 2000. It was Tennessee versus Cleveland. Tennessee won 24-10, mm-hmm. despite 7 turnovers.
That's it. I'm telling you. So we didn't believe him either.
See, because coaches make stuff up, you know.
Yeah, of course they do. They make up stuff all the time to try to motivate you and lie right to you to get you to do something you don't want to do. But, yeah, he was telling the truth.
You know, to get back to the triple option here, and I have this debate in my head. There's not much going on in my head anyway, so it's not crowded in there. But the NFL guys are so fast. They're so fast to the ball. Can't you? Is it that hard to get ready in a
week?
How
can this be working?
Yeah, that's my bottom line is how the hell does that work?
Go back to when Miami scored 4 touchdowns against the Patriots when they first ran the Wildcat. It was something new. It was something different. They've never seen it on tape. They didn't practice against it. And it took a while for the NFL to figure out that if you cannot throw the ball in the Wildcat, it's worthless. And that's what people did. They put 11 guys in the line of scrimmage. That thing's gone. No one runs it anymore. The reason Denver can run something similar is because they have a quarterback doing it. And the reason they can run the option is because all of a sudden the defensive end is unblocked. And when you're unblocked on the line of scrimmage, you freeze. You don't know what's going on. You're saying, why is no one blocking me? Okay, now I got 2 guys going at me. It happens that fast. I got to pick one of them. Either Tebow takes up the field or he pitches it. Option football is unique. I love option football. I think it's great for the younger levels. But I agree with you, Terry. You would think the speed of defensive ends and linebackers, strong safeties in the league, would kill this thing. But right now, they're having trouble because it's all based on discipline and assignment and angles to the ball, too. Think about it that way. The free safety this week for the Bears is going to have the pitch man. Okay, that means you have to come from 15 yards deep, take an inside-out angle to the ball, and if you miss, it's a touchdown.
That's what happened to the Jets at the end of the game.
Right. It's a tough play to defend.
Pinched in, and the safeties took bad angles, and
Tebow
got outside.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then I'm wondering briefly.
No, I'm depressed.
Do you still want to play Peppers at end? If he's just going to be a guy, they're going to sort of read him and leave him unblocked. If you want Peppers to be as valuable as possible, is he better off at tackle?
I'm passing down, so I'd say at defensive end, I would tell him, go right at T-Bone and put your helmet right under his
That's what I'd say. No matter what, whether he has the ball or not, go kill God.
Yep, go take him out. That's
all right. I'm, you know, Matt, after listening to you, there's no reason to do this, but I'm gonna stick with you and take the Bears. I can't make a case for it.
I'm not.
I'm dude, blasphemer. All right, I'm with you. You're gonna pick the Bears, right?
You know what? I'm going to. I don't know why, but I am.
Okay, because
all right, you guys are in the same boat. There.
We're in the same boat, and we're sinking, and people are throwing anvils in the boat, but we're sticking with the Bears.